Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, and Truth Straight Up, the Chuck and Julie Show. Party Friday, of
on
course.
A Party Friday.
And it's a beautiful day out there.
Yeah, show brought to you by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Great website. I check it every day. Suggest that you do too. And you're going to be wanting to read, I bet, what they're going to be writing about Representative Patrick Neville. Big announcement he made today, all over the news. He's coming on here in a few seconds. We'll be talking to him about it. Also, ballots were mailed today. And we'll be talking a little bit about that. And we're going to have Richard Holt, who's running for state representative in House District 64 on. I like to say that Colorado, I guess we could open it up to anybody. You know, if you're running for office and are interested in being on the show, and I would say this, we don't even have to agree with you. You don't have to agree with us. I just think it's important that people be able to hear. The mainstream media anymore is just so biased, and the way they report things, don't you think, Chuck, is so biased that it's good to have a place like this where people can, you know, you can hear for yourselves, right? You don't have to read somebody else's twisted interpretation. But let's jump right to it. Minority Leader, Representative Patrick Neville. We're not going to be able to be calling you that much longer. Patrick, first, thank you for the show, or thank you for your time for being on the show today.
Thank you for the show.
Thank you for the show. Well, in a way, yes. Hey, big announcement. Why don't I let you just kind of do the reveal?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, no, I did. It's a decision I made, you know, a couple days ago, and been thinking about it for a while, but I started, you know, recently working, as you guys know, getting my executive MBA, and time's getting real busy, and you know, I don't know if I can keep up with everything going on and be leader at the same time. And so, you know, normally we just wouldn't run, but I thought it was important to announce it at this point in time, because really we have a bunch of people that are Republicans, you know, included too, that are kind of trying to sabotage some of our efforts, and is a way to try to not get back seats so they can try to take me out of some leadership. So I figured, yeah, Hey, you know, if I don't want to run for leader to begin with, may as well announce it now. And then maybe they can stop trying to run against me and actually try to add more Republicans.
Well, you know, I got to admit, I mean, we've been talking to you for months and months and months and years now about this. And I got to wonder if sometimes you haven't felt like people have like a little Patrick voodoo doll, and this is Republicans as well as Democrats, and they're like sticking it needles in you. I mean, it hasn't been, I would imagine, the most fun job at the legislature.
No, not at all. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, you're kind of, you're almost like have a ball and chain attached to you that, when you want to go do something, there's someone dragging your back or criticizing whatever you're doing, just trying to take out personal vendettas. And so if I'm not in that position, it's actually more freeing. I can actually get a lot more done. I can get more connected to the grassroots. And that's my plan, because we've ignored the grassroots for so long. And, you know, I think I can actually get more connected and be more unbridled in my efforts to do that. And ultimately, too, you know, represent my district, too. A lot of people don't understand when you're in leadership, you're worried about every other, you know, seat in the state and trying to take care of other caucus members' stuff. And sometimes it's, you know, it can be a distraction from your own district. So, you know, I think I've done a good job representing my district too, but I think this will actually free me up to, for my last 2 years, to really, truly put my attention towards them.
Well, when does a Hillary Clinton rhino get the seat?
You know, it's just funny. There's some of the people reporting that. I don't think that's the case whatsoever. I don't think
Hugh McClain. McCain is Hillary Clinton rhino. He's running, right? That's all.
But I don't think he's going to have the votes. I know there's news stories out there, and I don't know who's counting votes. But when I do a quick little look at it, I don't think that's the case whatsoever. And
well, who's
is that like a wish?
There's other good conservatives that'll probably want to step up and. You know, I don't want to name names today.
They'll attack them.
You know, I've gotten lots of, you know, favorable calls from the caucus already and thanking me and everything and kind of wondering what's next. And I said, well, we'll have to see. We'll have to let those people decide and jump up. You know, I think the caucus is going to be looking for, you know, a good solid conservative that can, you know, unite us. And I don't think we're gonna necessarily get that if those folks mentioned who've been trying to tear apart the caucus for.
Exactly. Well, we'll get to that segment. Maybe we should be, you could like be talking about how much fun it was, right? So everybody wants, and oh, it was great, free breakfast. But no, I mean, yeah, the name they're talking about, like Chuck said, the Hugh McCain, Colin Larson, who received money from the Democrats to win his primary. Yeah, yeah. So the good news is you're saying that's just wishful thinking on the part of the Denver Post and some of the Colorado media who hate Republicans and that actually you don't think they have the votes to take that minority seat.
I really don't. No, I don't think they do. So we'll see. I mean, you know, caucus politics is always very interesting, but yes, you know, more folks to know. I'm certainly not going anywhere. I'm still there. I don't need a title of a lead. I still plan to be a leader in the conservative movement, the liberty movement in Colorado, and really start keep building on that. And hopefully whoever is the leader, you know, happy to work with them and mentor them and be there for, advice or any pointers that they need. And it's kind of the nice part about still being there for 2 more years. Instead of just figuring out and letting them figure it out on their own, I'll be right there if they want
the help. I became a CPC this time, and not that that's hard to do. In fact, 40% of the position.
PCP, you mean?
PCP. No, it's committee person. Whatever.
He's a precinct person, not a drug addict. He's not. He's not another PCP drug. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Julie.
Okay,
that was helpful.
doing my part.
Doing your part as always. Because I really wanted to say, you know, my vague feeling that the Republican Party didn't exist in Colorado, but how do I know? You know, I said I'll get down where, if you have a party, you need people stoking the coal. You know, you need people emptying the latrines. You need people to do the basic stuff. And if there's not any of those, if they do nothing, then it's an indication of a party that is virtually dead. I've gotten no word on anything. I mean, my prior PCP said, well, one day the district captain dropped by a list and some campaign literature. So even that doesn't exist.
Ballots went out today.
Ballots went out today. There is no Republican Party. Yeah, in any kind of organized sense of an organized entity. Now, there are people running.
There are people. They're grassroots. There's tons of grassroots people out there.
But there are people running for office, and I'm sure they're out knocking on doors, or in some cases knocking on doors. But at one time, there was a Republican Party. I think it died in 2012 when they lost the Senate. The consultants, by sending out tons of literature and having a favorable campaign cycle, won it back, at least the Senate. And then they, you know, that became the way. But there are no boots on the ground. Jefferson Thomas is a non-existent Trump leader.
Well, no, Trump, I'm going to push on that. The Trump, well, that's without getting the argument. I mean,
well, let
Patrick
me finish, Julie.
Okay, well, you were going.
I don't want to be negative. Is there the only person I'll have to say who has called me to be a volunteer on anything is Cory Gardner. Now, I don't like Cory Gardner. I'm going to vote for him, but I would not take my
time. He's working. His campaign people are out there.
His campaign people.
Well, Patrick, what do you see then? Is Chuck right or wrong, or is it somewhere in the middle?
Chuck is always right.
Well, in a lot of circumstances, he's right. And, you know, quite frankly, I think the same thing has actually happened with the Democrat Party, you know, the actual party apparatus. And that's what people like to complain. I was trying to make that point over and over on Peter's show this morning, that it's not the Republican Party apparatus. I mean, there's so little they can do with the way campaign finance laws work and everything. That, you know, it's good to have a good apparatus. I think Ken Buck has made a lot of decent changes, but part of the problem is with the way the campaign finance laws work, they really can't raise any money. They really can't, set up different IEs and different issue-based stuff. So, you know, what happens is the RNC comes in and basically calls all the shots.
Right.
The RNC doesn't, and then, you know, they come in for one little short election cycle and leave, and there's really been no effort to put in a sustained effort to galvanize those grassroots voters and to reach out and try to recruit other people. And so that's what we're trying to do. It's what we've tried to do for the last 4 years. And quite frankly, it's difficult because every time I try to do something like that, I'll get a bunch of slings and arrows, you know, sent my way from, you know, GOP establishment types. And it's really tough when you're in leadership because you've got to respond to the caucus and respond to their concerns. And so this actually kind of, you know, unleashes me a little bit to go work on it.
Patrick Neville Unleashed. Well, let me, I got to ask you the $50 bazillion question. We were at a thing a few days ago when George Brockler was there. So we were kind of grilling him about what are his future political plans. Our only hope in Colorado to a certain extent and the state legislature. Are you going to go the way and become a CEO someplace?
Join Wells Fargo?
Can you give us any hint about, Jesse Paul is saying maybe Ken Buckseat, if and when he ever stops running. I mean, what are you thinking there?
Well, there's a lot of, up in the air, so we'll see. If I felt led to be the public service, I certainly would. It's, CD4 has been one of those questions that have come up in the past and certainly interested me. But I don't know what those districts are going to look like after the 2022 reapportionment and redistricting.
Right.
So, it's something I'll definitely keep open. I know there's other folks that pushed me for other statewide office, and we'll see. It's one of those things that I just really feel like I've got to be led to do. I don't want to do it out of personal ambition. And, I guarantee you the flesh in me would love to, go back to private life and,
have a life and things like that.
Written by me by Marianne Giblin on a weekly basis.
Right.
Then something came up, I definitely take a good look on it and pray on it. And, at least for the next 2 years, I'm not going anywhere.
Let me ask you about this. Speaking about the attack, you hadn't, 3 seconds after you announced that you weren't going to seek to be the minority leader again, the Denver Post put out another attack on you, calling it an ad that the Republican Party. Well, I want to back up. First, I want to talk about Rush Limbaugh. President Trump on Rush Limbaugh today, when was told that Durham isn't going to announce anything before the election regarding the Russia hoax investigation, said Republicans need to play tougher. He said Republicans just don't want to upset the apple cart. It's very frustrating. At least you guys here in Colorado are like, no, we're playing the same kind of game that the Democrats are. And you were attacked for running a, quote, transphobic attack ad against a Democrat candidate.
It's so sad. Last time, they ran a mean ad against Brittany Pedersen. They said how absurd that her opponent said that she would be for safe injection sites, really just wide open heroin. And of course, the minute she got elected, first thing was heroin sites. And so what the Denver Post thinks really has become virtually.
Well, no one reads anymore. But I want to let for our audience, Patrick, what I want to do is I want to play the ad that you're being attacked for and then get you to respond to it. So, Thomas, if we could play the Brianna Titone, if I'm saying her name right, political ad. Can we go ahead and play that? Oh, hey, well, never mind. I think we're, for whatever reason, it's not playing. Okay, what it was is, I'll let you explain it. What does the ad say? And, I'm listening to it, and I'm like, it's not transphobic. It's just simply pointing out things.
Nope. So,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
What we're getting attacked for is telling the truth. In 2012, when Brianna, when she was known as Brian, Brian was, had the police called on him by someone, and there's the police report. We have it on BriannaTitone.org, if you want to take a look at it. But there's a police report there about how he was kind of verbally abusing someone he was with. And, I say he because that's how he identified in 2012. It's not transphobic at all.
Right.
We talk about that. And we also talk about her actual, Twitter timeline. Her Twitter timeline is just totally unbecoming of any sort of elected official, just saying absolutely grotesque stuff. It has gotten zero to no attention from the media. Yeah. And so we actually point it out and tell the truth, and they say, oh, he's transphobic. I'm saying, well, wait a minute. I don't know how else you want me to tell the story. If we're going to be factual here, I'm sorry, but the police report was when she was known as Brian.
Right.
I doubt that when she was in the chair, I didn't have a problem calling her Madam Chair.
Right. Right.
It's the total truth. And then the biggest point that I wanted to point out, which I don't think the media covered at all, I didn't read the Denver Post story, but why is it that she gets special treatment from the party when Javon Melton is accused of doing something? They say he should resign. When Steve Webstock is accused of doing something, they expel him.
Right.
So here we are. We've got this report that exists, and it seems like there's a different standard for Brianna than there is for everyone else.
Oh, exactly. Well, and look what happened with Governor Polis, right? The police report came out that showed that he had been abusive, at least allegedly, to an elderly person. And they're like, hey, no, you're being homophobic.
Anti-Semitic, racist,
and Islamophobic, everything-ophobic. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's, you know, in the Denver Post, it doesn't even say what some call a trans. I mean, it just flat out says that. So in a way, I don't really blame you, Patrick, for saying, you know, I don't need to take this anymore. I'm going to get out there. Because initially when I heard this, I was like, oh, no. And then, but then, you know, then reading and you're like, no, it will free me up to fight. And I won't have to have my hands tied behind my backs because of other concerns. I can just truly fight for my district and the grassroots people. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's a problem. You know, if we run something like that and actually do try to run a decent hit piece, there's different consultants that come out of the woodwork and try to criticize your work because they're trying to go after that leadership pot of money. And I'm just kind of overdealing with that. It's more, you know, bureaucratic weight than it's really worth. I mean, some of the stuff on her Twitter timeline, I mean, like get bleeped in the bleep and jump out of a window, say yes, daddy. I mean,
Trump, and talking about punching people.
More bigly than yours. I mean, it's just absolutely disgusting. It's, you know, like, really, this is an elected official?
Right. You know, and to say you take some of the stuff, the sexualization of children, and this is something I don't understand, that if you had a grown man, and frankly, even a gay man, who said, I'm going to go read a bunch of stories to kindergartners, right? Everyone would be like, no, you're not. Right? That's not appropriate. And yet if you're, you know, transgender, all of a sudden you can do that. It's just like, it's insanity. And the fact that people say, oh no, you know, you can't even point things out. It's ridiculous. You know, this is from Sandra. She says, I find it great that Patrick is fighting back. The Republican Party needs to put on the boxing gloves. Most are damned weak. Thank you, Patrick. Oh, hey, and we have the video now. So we'll go ahead.
Try again.
We'll try playing the video again so people can see what we're talking about. Go ahead, Thomas, if you can.
Breonna Tatone has always supported violence. And when Breonna was known as Brian in 2012, his girlfriend called the police because of his violent temper. Today, Breonna puts out violent, extremist language on social media while attacking law enforcement and sexualizing children. Is this really who you want to represent you in Denver?
Here's the thing. She's running in the part of the Denver area, Arvada, Jefferson County, in some seats that I think are winnable for Republicans, aren't they?
Oh, without a doubt. Actually, we lost that seat by about 300 votes 2 years ago, and main reason was because Lang Sias withdrew and joined Walker Stapleton in his campaign, and Nikki Pine was a great candidate but didn't have enough time to really stand up for her own campaign. So we were really close. I mean, at the time, I remember everyone criticizing me, saying, oh, you're just spending money for Nikki Pine because, you know, you want her vote for leadership. I said, no, it's really not a safe seat anymore, guys. You know, the demographics are changing. And so we, you know, we spent money, but still, like, just, you know, just not quite enough because we lost it by only 300 votes. And now we've got, you know, we've actually got more information on Breonna Tatone, and we have her record and her voting record, and we're going to show it to the constituents because I don't think she represents that district well.
Well, right. I think you could take it to the bank that if you do an ad that's hard hitting and effective and will make a difference, then the Denver Post will figure out some is to add to it. It's either transphobic or it's homophobic. What the Denver Post has to say about anything is really so pathetic these days that it is.
And that's part of the problem with our consultant class that we have in the state is, you know, they keep fighting me. If it's a Republican running in a primary that they're, you know, running against, they will, you know, throw everything possible at them and go as negative and vile as they possibly can. But then once they get in the general elections, I think that's part of the reason why they just, you know, really put on the brakes and try to be so soft because they're afraid the Denver Post might call them out and they don't want that bad publicity. And, you know, that might affect their next contract or their next job. And somehow, you know, that we keep losing and losing because, you know, we're not pulling out the stops and we're not actually, you know, telling the truth and, you know, going, you know, full bore after some of these folks that have a horrendous record, that, you know, and that's why we keep losing.
You know, and here's thinking this will make your blood run cold. So, you know, as you know, we're friends with the Democrat strategist Ted Trimpa, and he was telling us the other day, he's probably going to go, don't be done with that. But he said, if you thought last legislation was progressive, he said, put on your panties now. He said, this next session, he's like, there's nothing stopping them. Is that what you're hearing too?
I wouldn't quite put it that way, Julie. That's not, you know, well, for Ted's protection. He said, don't
worry. Well, right, I'm paraphrasing.
She's paraphrasing the conservative speak. That's not how Ted doesn't speak with speak. So,
but on the other hand, what he was indicating, yeah, though, was that there's nothing stopping them.
But the sentiment's definitely true. I mean, I definitely have that if we lose seats in the Senate or we lose seats in the House, they are just going to be even that much more motivated to continue on the same path. And I think you'll see someone like, you know, Leslie Herod or someone like that take over the majority leader spot and then forget it. I mean, they're going to be trying to run everything they possibly can at us. And I remember I had that problem. I've had this problem in the past every time that we actually go to try to fight really hard or, we go to fight, pull us in the public square. There's some folks that, you know, they get upset. They're like, well, what if he doesn't sign my bill? It's like, you know what, guys? You know, if they're signing your bill, it's probably not a huge change in a way. And I say that as someone who's had bills signed by him too, but you know,
right.
You know, there's stuff that we can't agree on, but I'm like, if that's your worry, you've got the wrong priorities. I mean, we've got to really fight hard tooth and nail against some of these really crazy socialist policies.
Well, let me see if I have my timeline right. Cause you would know. So back yonder many years ago, and I'm not sure how many years ago, the Republican Party did have a grassroots operation. They did go to churches. They did have, they did try to get out the vote and everything else. Then when they lost,
was that when we were winning, right?
Yeah, sometimes winning. Yeah, occasionally winning. Then in 2012, we lost everything. The consultants by massive mailers, or I think just because the election cycle in 2014, were able to take back the Senate. And that became the holy grail. All we need to do is get the consultants, get that machine going, and we just send out lots of mailers. We don't have to do anything else. We don't have to do the
hard work. Well, they get paid the same whether they win or lose, right? The consultants do.
Well, they want to win because you keep on at it. But and the campaign finance rules also made it impossible for the state party to run anything anymore. It has to be done through other things. But by 2015, the party was dominated by the EISs and all the other ones. And come now, you know, after we've kind of gutted the party with no real resistance, no lawsuits or anything else, we just sit out there without money and without an organization. No real way to do it unless somebody moves from Santa Clara to here who has a couple $1 billion and moves to Aspen and decides to take over the state. I mean, that is my general timeline. So is there anything about that you don't totally agree with?
I mean, yeah, what happens too with all this is some of those same groups get very territorial of like, oh, well, this was my pot of money and now you're disturbing it. Or, oh, you can't run that program. You can't fundraise off of that. We want to do that. And they don't play nice with others.
Right.
And that's one thing that we've tried to do. We've tried to work with everyone. We've tried to work with all these different groups. And then, you know, they turn around and instead they spend $2 million in primary races in the state house where I don't think we've ever had even close to that amount of money. I know we didn't have that amount of money in 2018. I don't see the same groups, you know, the only really group spending significant amounts of money in the state house races is my group, you know, between Values First and Take Back Colorado. But gosh, it sure, we're not even close to 2 million. Democrats have, I think, 3 to 5 million. It seems like they get more and more each day. So we're way outspent, way outgunned. But it sure would have been just nice to have $2 million in some state house races, or heck, some state senate races.
But of course, you wouldn't have gotten it.
State senate doesn't have that kind of resources.
Well, because the money comes from a left wing liberal,
Catherine Murdoch,
and
among
so
others,
she wanted it on the recommendation of various people that hey, we can just totally gut the Republican.
We have fake
party.
Republicans. Yeah, we'll run fake Republicans
in Weld County, which is perfect because they're not going to win that. So they'll just have rhinos from Weld County. Colin Larson is you know, he'd be okay as a Democrat, but as a Republican, he's a disgrace. So
well,
it's just hard to hard to see. We're, you know.
Chuck, this is Party Friday.
And Party Friday. We got to let Patrick go. I apologize.
It's Patrick, first off, good luck to you on this. And as always, everything we can do to help, because I think.
We'll change it to the grassroots report.
Every Friday we have the grassroots report. Just going forward, I guess I take some hope in the fact that you aren't just quitting, right? You're saying, no, I'm going to a place where I think I can fight better. And that's the good news, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, and really, I do think it frees me up. I'm still there. Like I said, I think the leadership race is wide open, and I'm happy to get in there and help whoever takes that. I think there's a couple of people probably thinking about it, and they'll probably have some talks. This probably gives them a little more time to talk about it. Because some of those guys, maybe have thought about it but didn't want to challenge me for whatever reason. I think if they get in there too, I'd be happy to, continue my efforts on the grassroots end and really take off with that while, they continue their similar efforts like we have with Values First.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for your time. Good luck. And like I said, we'll call it the grassroots report. And because there's a lot to be fighting for, I think.
Let us know who you like for the leadership position, because I, 20 years ago, tipped the entire balance. All right.
That's a story for another.
And that's another story.
That's 20 years ago.
So that's many years ago. But the winner won by one vote. So a lot of people claim credit for it.
But Chuck is.
But I'm claiming credit. Well, I'm not sure credit. He was, great guy, but who knows?
Anyway, Patrick, hey, thank you for your time as always. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks. You too, guys.
All right. Thank you. Minority Leader Patrick Neville, big announcement. He's stepping down as minority leader, which on one hand is very sad. But on the other hand, he says, hey, look, I can be much more effective in accomplishing, there's no point. I get the feeling, Chucky's saying, keep beating my head against the wall, trying to fight the established Republicans, trying to keep the caucus happy. As a minority leader, I had a lot of different hats I had to wear. Now I can just, wear the one. Right. And go that way.
Yeah, the Republican Party in Colorado is very difficult to understand. It's very difficult to understand the establishment, their establishment of nothing.
Well,
but they're the establishment who will kill a Republican and are terrified of Democrats. EIS and Josh Penry and the whole culture of.
Let me ask you this.
Tyler Sandberg. It's just amazing.
To broaden it out a little bit, I got to wonder if this isn't why we need to be very worried as a nation, because in part, what happened is the money is because of the Colorado model, the Blueprint Colorado, the Democrat strategized takeover of Colorado politics, right? The ballot initiatives, on the ballot, all of the various things that they did, right? There is so little money for Republicans here that it becomes essentially a fight for survival, right? And there is no room for compromise, so to speak, because the Democrats just control everything. So you have like one little pen that everybody's fighting over. And I think that's what the rest of the nation is looking at. If we don't stop and keep the Electoral College, if we don't stop this ridiculousness of all mail balloting, and you don't have to be a citizen to vote, all of these things the Democrats are pushing, I think it will hurt Republicans, the same way nationally, do you think? And in individual states that it did here in Colorado?
Well, the Republican Party has always been known as a party of stupid. And then early, maybe the 1990s, maybe it was I guess 10 years before that, the neocons came in, which were a bunch of very bright Jewish conservatives who really wanted a different worldview. And they came in, gave some intelligentsia, quite frankly, to a party that lacked any. But then they became, the Cheneys, and they became, right. Let's invade here. Let's invade there.
Industrial military complex, right?
They didn't care so much. They cared a great deal about Israel and protection of Israel. And they basically took over the Republican Party. Bush became a neocon, not out of any kind of
personal philosophy,
but he had a lot of advisors who were neocons and all the way through, and he started to agree with it. It's amazing. But we got to look to the future. And talking about the future,
right?
We got Richard Holthoff, who's my golf partner in our tournament.
Running for House District 64.
Well, he was appointed there. When a beloved Republican died, he got appointed there, and now he's running on his own. But he's just a tremendous guy on protecting rural family values and choices. So it's a real privilege to have him on after Patrick. Hello, Richard.
How are you, sir and ma'am? Thanks for inviting me.
We're very good. We're very good. Like Chuck said, he came back from his golf tournament. You guys, how was your golf game? Are you going to?
He's going on the tour, I think.
He's just going on the tour?
I think Chuck's a little better golfer than me, but I was taking lessons and trying to keep up with him. So I still got some work to do.
All right. Well, talk about being on the tour. When I was talking to you earlier today, I was like, you know, do you want to come on Zoom? Because we like to do that. And you're like, Julie, no, I am driving around. I'm on the tour right now, so to speak, in my district. Why don't you tell folks a little bit, just so they know where your district is, and then talk a little bit about your campaign and yourself.
Well, I will tell you that House District 64 is the largest geographical House district in the state. It covers now 9 counties and also has 3 state borders, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Kansas.
Wow.
Southern, southeastern, and eastern Colorado stretches from Washington County north down through Lincoln County, Elbert County, and heads through Kiowa County and Crowley County all the way down to Baca County, Bent County, Los Animas County. So it's a big house district. I'm on the road. Going through my district now, doing meet and greets, and also delivering yard signs and campaign material, because it's 25 days till election time, and it's crunch time, and we got to do a full court press here to try to get the word out.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you were appointed to fill out the end of a term due to an unfortunate passing away. How many more terms? I know you don't want to commit more than one more, but how many more terms do you in theory have?
Well, I was told that the finishing Kimmy Clark Lewis's term doesn't count against me.
Right.
Okay. So if elected, this will be my first term, and you can do a total of 4 terms before you hit your term limit. So in theory, I could continue to represent eastern and southeastern Colorado for another 8 years.
What if folks, as you drive around, let me ask a couple questions. Number one, in general, what are the Colorado concerns? And then so the part two of the question, what's your sense of how Donald Trump is faring in your part of Colorado?
Well, the first thing I will say is the biggest concern is economic recovery. Okay. We've got to get back to business in Colorado. We've got to open up our tourism. We've got to open up our entertainment. We've got to open up our restaurants and bar businesses. We've got to get our downtowns and main streets open back up for business. There's so many things that are affected when people are out of jobs, when people aren't able to work at a much higher level of capacity than it's being allowed by public policy right now. So getting the economy going is the most important thing. And I will tell you, in rural Colorado, we love Donald Trump. If you just went by yard signs alone, I will tell you it is 500 to 1. I've seen two signs for Joe Biden. I've probably seen 500 or 600 signs for Donald Trump. I think rural Colorado and rural America is more connected with Donald Trump and trying to put America first and be proud of America and proud of who we are as Americans and push back on this socialist and leftist movement that has run amok in the United States over the last 3 or 4 months.
Amen. Amen. We're talking with Richard Holzhoff here, state representative for House District 64. Vote for him.
Yeah. Does yours include
Sugar City,
Colorado?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, we've got a listener there, Kenny Bandemir.
Kenny Bandemir, the Bandemir family. You sound like somebody Kenny would like. So if you get to Sugar City, look him up.
And tell Chuck and Julie. Well, let me ask you this.
Leadership position. What is strange in the House these days compared to what it used to be is that you relatively become one of the old boys before you even become get your ears wet. But you'll be you know, older than you'll have more of a term in 2 or 4 years than most of the other people, or almost most of the people. Have you looked forward to leadership positions in the Republican Party?
Well, I will tell you that those things come, I think, with time, as you cut your teeth on the business we call politics. I'm talking with colleagues and friends, and when it's my time, I've never turned down a leadership opportunity. So I will step up and grab the reins and ride that horse out. I will tell you, I don't think it's the right time. I've told my colleagues I need to get elected and serve a full 2-year term.
Yeah.
I got a jump start on a lot of the people based on the opportunity to finish Kimmy Lewis's term. Mm-hmm. And there's some changes coming in the Republican caucus. There's turbulence. There's a little bit of infighting, which is unfortunate. But Republicans are independent-minded and independent thinkers. That's the one thing I learned really fast is our Democrat colleagues, many of them are like sheep, and they just move like a flock. Some of the leadership are also like dogs getting led down through the park. So
you'll also find out that Republicans will stab you in the back, as Patrick Neville found with Cole Wist. They will stab you in the back. So be careful.
Hopefully you can help.
Watch out for those rhino Republicans, because there's no trick too dirty them for their conservative colleagues. But I'm sure you're a tough guy. Military, tell us a little about your military service.
Well, I had the privilege of going to Colorado State University. My dad told me if I want to go to college, I better find out a way to pay for it. The ag economy at the time in the 80s was doing very poorly. And so I found my good old Army recruiter and found out about an ROTC scholarship, which I quickly received. And I did my 4.5 years at CSU. And then lo and behold, in the 80s, if we weren't in a wartime situation, we were still fighting the Cold War. I was the reserve officer in the Guard or the Reserves. I was called to active duty because of the position and placement in my class. And so I went and spent about 7.5 years on active duty. I was a commissioned officer and a gunship pilot serving in 3 different continents in the world. And then I came back to work on the ranch when I left active duty and joined the National Guard. So I spent some time in the Guard, 6.5, 7 years. And then this thing called 9/11 happened, and it ruined a good thing, because the 1 weekend a month, the 2 weeks in the summer was great. I was flying choppers out of Buckley, met a lot of good guys and gals, and it was a good gig until the global war on terrorism hit, and that changed all of our lives. And I got recalled back to active duty, did another 4 years, served in a couple other continents, and went to the Middle East and did a combat tour, came back home again to the ranch. Continue to work. At that point, my dad got cancer real bad and passed away, but I was able to be with him in those last months. Yeah. And then, he gave me the keys and said, it's your turn to run this ranch. So I'm going to be gone, and you got to do this. So that was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done, bury my dad and then take over the family business. But we did it with the help of my mom. And then I still stayed in the reserves until 2016. Where I retired as a colonel. And boy, my military experience, I describe it as the best of times and the worst of times. So many great people, so many opportunities, so many experiences all over the world, and a wonderful education at every level, military education, and also they helped pay for a couple of master's degrees. So I thank the U.S. Army for everything they've done for me, and I think I've paid them back in blood, sweat, and tears. So I think we're even on that score.
They do golf lesson scholarships.
Let me ask
you. You know that, Chuck. They didn't give me golf lessons. You know that.
Just a couple more questions, because I know you're so busy. You know, you mentioned at the beginning, driving around and people are like, we need to reopen the economy. I think, the governor poll, I mean, my belief is the Democrats who run sort of the front range here, and certainly, at the state capitol, want to keep things locked down to try to hurt us in order to try to hurt Donald Trump. Because I got to imagine the coronavirus reality. I mean, first of all, I think so much of it is overblown, and it's just what I call panic porn here. But you got to imagine that the situation there is largely different than it is, say, in downtown Denver. And yet you guys are penalized the same as Denver, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, the one-size-fits-all solution is a flawed model. I've got Kiowa County in my district. They have 4 incidents in 6 months. They have 0 hospitalizations, 0 deaths, yet they're being penalized because they have to follow all the rules that Denver County, City and County of Denver have to follow. I don't think that's right. I've told people at the Capitol, I've told the governor, you need to think about being a governor for the entire state. That's all 4 corners, north and south, east and west. And you can't have this myopic vision of the one-size-fits-all model that you get when you just circle into Boulder County and Denver County and the surrounding suburbs. So, you know, we don't have those conversations. The rural-urban divide is so large now. No one really wants to sit down and have those conversations and find some a centrist policy that serves everybody. And it doesn't have to be heavy-handed. It doesn't have to be one-size-fits-all, because Colorado is a very diverse state. And, you know, the hand doesn't fit the glove, then put a different glove on.
Yeah.
And that's about as simple as I can say it.
Well, I can't think of a system that's more one-size-fits-all other than socialism. And you've got a quasi-socialist as governor. You've got real socialists in the legislature. And I don't think they care much what the people in southeastern Colorado think. I mean, having met them, having talked to them, they could care less, unfortunately. Until there's enough power, somehow Republicans get enough power that they can make a difference, they'll continue to ignore the rural areas and oppress the rural areas. And I'm not sure what Colorados can do about it.
Well, they can elect Richard is what they can do, Chuck. Where can people find out more about you? If people want to get involved, volunteer, donate, where can they go?
Well, I have a website. It's www.FullTourForColorado.com. I have a Facebook that's Full Tour for Colorado. I'm going to be at an event in Elbert County. I tell you, the Elbert County Republican Party, there and Tom Peterson at the helm are doing great things. Shout out to that county. We're going to be doing an event this Saturday, I believe, 3:30 to 5:30. And Greg and Carol Hines are the point of contact that you can get a hold of the Elbert County Republicans if you want more information on that. I'm going to talk about my candidacy. I'm going to talk about the state of the kind of the demographic and what we're looking at coming up to this election, and also talk about legislative initiatives and ask my constituents what they think the priorities are of the 10 prospective legislative actions that I already have in my notebook. I need their input to get some priorities, and I'm going to be going around to other counties as well to get these priorities. What I really need is for the Democrats to say, hey, you know, we've gone far enough left. We pulled this state damn near to California in our leftism and our socialism. We need to come back to the center, because we want Colorado to be a Rocky Mountain state, a Western state, a state steeped in Western heritage, Colorado history. We don't want to, you know, give Colorado history. We don't want to rewrite it, and we want to respect it, and we want to keep Colorado Western Rocky Mountain state. So I'm reaching out to my colleagues on the other side of the aisle saying, hey, you know, enough.
Don't get pulled too far. Arm is stretched out and you find yourself slowly being dragged across the plains into the city of Denver.
No.
Chuck, I will tell you, I'm not giving them jack shit. Use my French. I'm not giving him anything, because I'm the one standing up saying, all right, that's enough. You pulled us far enough.
Right.
And then they know that. But I want to reach out to them and say, hey, you know, let's find the center. I'm not giving anymore, because my opposing party has played this game of inches. And Republicans always try to get along and give a little, and oh, they're going to give a little back. Well, I'll tell you, they're pretty damn selfish. They don't give anything back. They just keep taking yards and pulling you farther and farther into their end zone. And it's enough. It's enough's enough. I'm telling you right now.
Richard is just a great person. If people want to support him, give him some money or otherwise help out, please do, because he's going to be a great legislator, I think, for as much as he wants to for the next 10 years or 9 years. So wish you the very best.
And Richard, here, this is from Sandra, one of our listeners. Damn, my kind of guy, I might need to move to Elbert County. So there you go. We'll go there. So it's Holtorf for Colorado, Holtorf. Then for Colorado. Richard, thank you for your time. Good luck. Hey, keep in touch with us, please. Anything we can do to help, we're happy to.
All right. Well, let's just find the center of this state and get us back to where Colorado used to be. Republican women want to make Colorado, Colorado again. And I'm on a pathway to try to help those ladies do that.
All right.
Sounds
thank
good,
you, sir.
Richard.
Thank
Take
you for
care.
Your time. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. There, you have to go golfing more often, Chuck. You get good. So that was Richard Holtorf. Let me give you his website again. Holtorf for Colorado is the website. He sounds great.
No, he's good.
Yeah,
he's
sounds great. I mean, Republicans have.
He's got a great campaign manager, Larry, and just a great group.
Great. Yeah, they've got some great candidates out there. Well, let me, you know, we can open it up for phone calls or comments if people want. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Before we do that, do you want to talk about Synagenix?
Yeah, and there's no more important time in my lifetime anyway than now to be in the best shape you can, to be as healthy as you can. I think Donald Trump showed that. I mean, he is... While he's slightly overweight, he certainly is otherwise in great shape, never drank, never smoked. And if you've done some of those things, that's okay. But it's time to get in the best shape you can be. Have your body be as young as it can be, because the coronavirus attacks old organisms that aren't working well. And so how do you do that? Well, you go to someone like Synergenix and Dr. Judy McCallum. And she does, they do a complete diagnostic. They find everything that's going great for you and some of the things that you need to improve on, and she'll make sure that you improve on them, whether it's musculature, whether it's weight, whether it's many other vitamins and other vitamins. You need a whole holistic approach to your whole health, and there's no more important time to do it. So just call Julie McCallum up, 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681. It literally can be a lifesaver.
All right. Right now we got Barney on the phone.
All
on
right.
This Party Friday.
All
hey.
Right.
Hey, Barney, thanks for calling. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Chuck and Julie. Love you both. Chuck, it all makes sense now. First you wear a ball cap. Now you say over yonder. I was kind of worried about your IQ, but you've been hanging out.
It's going down. It's going down.
Okay, well, take it easy. We don't want you driving a truck or nothing. So I grew up in Manzanilla, and I don't think Kenny grew up down there. Manzanilla is O'Carroll County, but I think the kids in Ordway kind of done, well, Sugar City, Crowley County, Froggy Ford. You kind of you chase women, you drank beer, you fish, you threw rocks at trucks when they came through town, and you'd go on Friday nights and pick a fight. Nothing, what? Absolutely nothing. But listening to Richard, it's like, yeah, we used to go to Ordway and pick fights with, you know, whoever, and it was constant, but it's kind of funny. But good luck, Richard, but you're dealing with spineless Republicans. I love Patrick, and I'm sorry to hear what he's doing, but he obviously knows best what's best for Patrick, but you've got some spineless. You can forget. Are we going to talk about Kamala Harris?
Okay, go for it. You mean
Kamala?
Barney, you just said her name wrong. That means you're racist.
You're racist.
Yeah.
Racist.
I said, okay, you know what? I'll tell you what. Most women can be kind of, you know, whatever. But I would imagine the man that lives with that woman. Oh, my God.
Willie Brown?
Son of a
That's her. That's her.
Will, oh, my God.
No, that's actually had the affair. No, you're right.
Sarah, 10 years.
You know, and they all talk about
that. Miserable.
People keep forgetting. Kamala Harris. During the presidential primary, right, she was just – this is why her ratings plummeted, right? She just comes across as an unpleasant – she's got an evil laugh. She's just unpleasant.
Smug.
She's smirky, smug, arrogant. And they say, oh, you're being sexist because –
You're not in love with her too, are you, like you were with the
No, hell no. Don't Don't you lecture me, Julie, about Camilla Harris. Don't
sorry.
Me, lady.
I'm yeah, mansplaining.
Don't you lecture me. Hey, by the way, you guys know that I despise Mike Pence. I'm not a fan of Mike Pence. But I'll tell you what, I got a big shocker because Mike Pence, man, he did a nice job. He wasn't mean. He wasn't what, you know, you hear the lefties, we know, but God, he done a great job. That was awesome. I think Mike Pence is back in my good graces, but don't you lecture me about that woman, Julie.
All right, I'm sorry. Sorry.
All right, hey, Bob. Great job. And I love both you guys. I just thought you guys, by the way, you said Ted Trumpa. And use panties in the same line?
Well, no, that was my...
Chuck is going to watch
me later.
Last time, Ted got in a lot of trouble, not from us, but another Republican radio program where they kind of misquoted him. It went all through everything. I'm going, Joy!
That was me paraphrasing. Ted did not use the word panties.
Or
so.
Much of the rest of it. So.
He indicated it was going to be... we're in for a ride, though.
I'm sorry. He knows we love him, so we're good to pick on him and make fun of him.
There we go. All right, Barney, hey, thank you for calling.
I love you guys.
You too.
You,
all right, let's go to our good comrade, Iggy from Denver. Iggy, okay. How you doing?
I don't know if I want to follow Barney's calls or not. Sometimes when he gets going, he reminds me of Chris Farley.
Yes, he does, actually.
You do just fine, Iggy. What's on your mind?
Okay. All right. So I don't know if you remember a while back, Ted, quite a while back when Ted was on and he was saying that he announced that or let you in on the big secret where all the big money people were pulling all their money from all the other campaigns and putting it all behind Joe Biden. Do you remember that?
Yes, absolutely.
Did you ever figure out who that was? Who was behind it? The organizations.
Oh, it's just the biggest donors from Soros to
the Murdochs.
Murdochs, you know, the sub Murdochs, the ones that, you know, the sister in laws, and the other big donors. I mean, there's maybe 20, 25, and you know, whether it's Warren Buffett, whether it's
the Koch brothers anymore.
Well, the Koch brothers anymore. I mean, you know, 9 out of the 10 richest billionaires in the United States are Democrats, so they got more money than they know what to do with.
Well, you know, somebody had to organize it and bring it all together. There was a kernel of an idea.
No, I think you're right. I'm not sure. I know for sure Ted would not reveal that to us, but I suspect you're right. Somebody started those phone calls and somebody who was worried about the Bernie Sanders wing of the party taking over and, you know, affecting their bottom line globalist incomes. But that's a very good point, Iggy. That didn't just sort of spontaneously happen. That's a very good point.
But I don't know. Could it be the Clintons?
Could be. Could
they're,
be
they're behind
or,
everything
or Obama. I mean, you know, I
Obama,
don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are all these people floating around, and I guess you're right. So, you know, sort of brain trusts, you know,
Perry McAuliffe and all these weird Democratic people that you just,
yeah, I'm not so sure how much clout the Clintons have these days. It's kind of hard to tell.
They're always back there.
Yeah, there's money.
Yeah. So and now we have the Bushes in Florida and possibly Texas working, and Colorado, because we have the big Bush connection here.
Right.
Colorado Springs is that's probably the Bush connection, working against Trump and trying to put all the elites back into power. And we've got, I wonder, do you think the Bushes and the Clintons are working together?
Yes, they do. They hand awards to each other all the time.
Good point.
They're huggy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think they're enabling the Clintons getting all that Democratic money into their handpicked minions that are running for office?
Right. Right. And for Colorado primaries. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, again, this is my theory. And that is, you know, that it is a war on the middle class. I saw a bumper sticker the other day and I would have laughed, but I didn't know whether to laugh or cry because it was sort of tongue in cheek. And it said, at least the war on the middle class is going well. Right. And so the Clintons and the Bushes are united in their war against the middle class. Right. What's good for them is not good for us and vice versa. So you have a really good point there.
Well, Well, and then we have all the social media people out of Silicon Valley and big
right.
and all the big computer people that are involved yeah. in it as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite clear to me that the power elites are bitch slapping the public now to get our ass, you know, in line because
yeah.
they should be in control and they know the best.
That's right. Why you have to wear a mask, so, Iggy. That's why you got to wear a mask, but Nancy Pelosi doesn't. So, hey, listen.
That's right. Well, you know, but I'm just saying, God, that's a lot to go up against with Trump, you know.
Yes.
He's doing all he can. He's doing all he can. He's trying as hard as he can. He's on a rush for 2 hours today. He's officially cleared to go out on the campaign trail Saturday. And I have a feeling that he'll be out there.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi is trying to say, oh, he's acting erratically. If you heard him on Rush, and I listened to a lot of it, the guy, I mean, for 2 hours, he just talked. He didn't cough. He wasn't sputtering. He didn't sound weak.
Have you listened to Nancy Pelosi? She doesn't sound erratic. No, no.
No, yeah, she doesn't sound.
Well, that's what I'm saying. How can anybody say that Nancy Pelosi sounds any better than what she's saying Trump is?
Exactly.
She's talking for some reason every time she talks, which I don't have a TV, so I don't hear her on TV.
You're lucky. You're lucky.
Of Daffy Duck. You know how Daffy Duck would talking and all this, you know, he's spitting as he's talking. So
yes.
I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that out there. It seems like they're all collaborating against us.
They are.
I think you're right.
Iggy, great to hear from you and have a great weekend, will you?
We'll see ya.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for us on this Party Friday. Chuck is off to his Boy Scouts meeting.
Boy Scouts meeting at a
local ballet company. That's right. Hey, I want to remind everybody you can catch all of our podcasts. You can listen live there too at chuckandjulie.com. Would love to have you like and follow us on YouTube and also like and follow us on Facebook. Thank you to Patrick, to Richard, to everybody joining us on Zoom and calling in. Thank you as always to the great folks at BBS Radio there, especially Thomas. And
Richard Haldoff and his great campaign organization. So.
Yep. Everybody have a
ballots
great...
Ballots come out, start arriving Monday or Tuesday.
And
so we'll be talking about the issues, you know, on the ballot and give you our recommendations, which you should, of course.
Well, then take yours. Hey, that'll do it for us. Everyone have a great weekend. We'll see you
take
Monday.
Care. Bye-bye.